All right, welcome back to Sports Talk for Fans by Fans. It's Brian here. I've got Alex with me on episode 37 of our podcast. Just a reminder, please share, subscribe, drop reviews. All that stuff is greatly appreciated. It helps us a lot. And also remember, we have a Facebook page that, we post a lot of things on there that tie into the podcast. Helps us get information from you guys and drive your points out there. Also Twitter and Instagram. So quickly before we start, if you guys hear anything different, we have to record a different way this time. It should be a 1 week thing. So if it sounds a little different, that's why, but it's a temporary thing that we're dealing with on our side, mainly internet being cut out in my house. So kind of being creative in how we're recording this, but Alex, let's get into this. Let's go starting first with our week three quick recap. The first thing I'm going to bring up obviously is Justin Fields and the Bears. Alex, before I say my little quick part, what did you think about Justin Fields and his first start?
I knew it was going to be bad, and I expected to be bad. I just didn't expect to be record-setting bad. So, by what I expected from a rookie quarterback, not ready.
And Myles Garrett feasted on that offensive line. They had no chance. Justin Fields sacked 9 times. They ran 42 plays for a total of 47 yards of offense. I think they technically generated 1 yard passing on offense when you take into account all the sacks and everything that happened. So just couldn't get worse, to the point almost where you have to start thinking about it's not all on Justin Fields. Maybe it's partially on Matt Nagy, if not all on Matt Nagy, which then goes back to we should probably owe Mitchell Trubisky an apology. So the MVP on to do better things and not under the microscope anymore. Next thing for the week three, Justin Tucker admitting that he wants to buy a house in Detroit despite the delay of a game call that did not happen. Maybe in the long run, that's better for a Detroit draft pick. But at the end of the day, Justin Tucker hitting a 66-yard field goal, hitting the inside of the crossbar, bouncing over to give the Ravens the win. Can't make that up. Just completely crazy. Speaking of crazy, Alex, Chiefs are in last place. We don't have to worry about them staying in last place, right, Alex? I mean, they'll crawl out of last place. They can win the division still, maybe. Yes?
It's too much football left to count them out. I mean, this division race just started really last week. So, yeah, I expect them to crawl their way out. The question is, who's going to be the odd teams out in that division?
The question is, how big of a beating are the Eagles going to get from the Chiefs as part of the revenge game to get them back on tours or on path? So unfortunate for the Eagles, probably.
And the Andy Reid revenge game, too.
So, yeah, it's true. That the story inside the story. The NFL had to have done this for a reason. We have Bucks at New England, and then we have the Andy Reid Bowl of playing against his former Eagles. Like, that can't be irony. That has to be made like that on purpose. Next, Alex, Mac Jones is not the answer for the Patriots. Now, do you have some stats about why Mac Jones has not exceeded those expectations? I think you sent me some stuff on week one.
Yep. For those who are keeping score at home, for the first three games, these are Cam Newton's yards last year versus Mac Jones this year. Cam Newton was completing about 68% of his passes, 714 yards passing, at 7.85 yards per attempt, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. However, he had another 149 yards rushing and 4 TDs. So he's 6 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Matt Jones, another way, 67.5%, 6.1 yards per attempt, 737 yards total passing. However, he only had 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and only 28 yards rushing. So, year to year, Cam looks like he's a smudge a little bit better than what Mac Jones is doing right now.
Yep. And we'll see as the season goes on. Maybe some of these rookie quarterbacks pull it together, but all of them don't look good to the point where maybe Kyle Shanahan did get the best quarterback just because we don't know what they can do yet, which is kind of a weird thing to say. Moving on, the Jaguars season has peaked. already. It peaked when they went to halftime with a 14-7 lead over the Cardinals with that 109-yard field goal missed return for a touchdown. Probably that was the high point of their season, unfortunately. Next, Alex, me, and maybe I'll speak for you also. I was wrong about the Raiders. 3 weeks in, I am buying in on what John Gruden's doing. We'll talk about that more later. But I am going to admit here that I was wrong on the Raiders. Now, what I will say is there are draft picks I still completely disagree with, and I have those stats later. But I'm on the Raiders bandwagon now, and Henry Ruggs actually looks like a first-round wide receiver. Yes, he doesn't get the target share of 12 targets his way, but he has looked well when Carr's throwing the ball, and maybe had a little bit more chemistry this year because last year there's injuries and COVID issues. So I was wrong on the Raiders. Next, the Panthers go to 3-0, just like that Thanos gif. What did it cost you? Well, it cost you CMC and Joe Horn, J.C. Horn. Essentially, J.C. Horn broke 3 bones in his foot. He's out for the season, and CMC with a hamstring issue. Yes, he can come back in 2 to 3 weeks. However, it's a hamstring issue, just like I mentioned the part about T.J. Watt with the quote-unquote minor groin issue that happened. And look where he's been now. He's been not playing. So they're not going to rush CMC back. Crucial game week 4 against the Cowboys. So I'm interested now. Alex, can the Seattle Seahawks stop anything on defense?
Quick answer, no.
Thank you. Jamal Adams paid to do, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he's getting sacks or doing anything. But Seahawks have been carved up. It's interesting. The Rams have asserted their dominance on the NFC with the display over the Bucks. And I think the rest of the NFC should be worried. I know people may say it's early on, and we have people that are in the Cowboys hype just because they have a winning record. No offense, Alex, but the Bucks, Tom Brady will be fine, blah, blah, blah. Packers, Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, the Rams look like the complete team, like I said, in the preseason part. If they don't have any injuries to their core players, they are probably the most dangerous team in the NFC. It's just, I don't know if you can survive a 17-game season without losing one of them to injury. So let's now cover the 4 games that we wanted to talk about last week. We kind of threw out the games we were most interested in. The very first one, unfortunately, was the one of the – it seems like every time we pick 4, Alex, 3 are really, really good, and the 1 is terrible. The one terrible one we picked this time was Washington football team at the Bills. Bills are 8.5-point favorites. Bills won by 22. We're just going to not talk about that game. The only thing I will say is it was definitely a Josh Allen coming out party, which we'll talk about later on the fantasy part. The one game that we did talk about that we're good on was the Chargers at the Chiefs. Chiefs were 6.5-point favorites. Chargers won by 6. The one thing that we're starting to learn is teams are taking the game out of Mahomes' hand as much as possible. They're going on 4th down. They're playing the odds correctly, properly, because you would rather play Chiefs defense than the Chiefs offense. Chargers, even with a tie game, they chose to keep pushing the envelope and keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands. They did with Lamar Jackson with the Baltimore, and now they did it with Justin Herbert with the Chargers. So the first crucial stat I have, Alex, is the Chiefs lost by 6 in Kansas City. However, the turnover difference was huge. A couple of those Mahomes throws that we usually see happen and turn out to be great highlights didn't work out so well. So the Chiefs ended up having 4 turnovers against them. The Chargers had 0. 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. Not really what we see out of a Chiefs. You have to believe that it's going to correct itself and the Chiefs will assert their dominance again, once again on football. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 100-yard game, of course, on my bench, but it was his third 100-yard game. More concerning, though, Alex, is Tyreek Hill had another subpar game, 7 targets, 5 catches, 56 yards. Do you have any concern for Tyreek Hill?
I don't have much of a concern for Tyreek Hill. I have more concern with Patrick Mahomes, kind of how he's playing. It's almost as like he's playing like Brett Favre near the middle end of his career, where he's kind of doing these crazy, miraculous things. It seems like it's not working out right now.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll come out, he'll snap. He'll probably be a GM against the Eagles. And probably there. Mike Williams, I don't know how many more times we can say it. If you weren't on the bandwagon, we've left you behind by a mile. He had a 7-catch, 122-yard game with 2 touchdowns. Keenan Allen keeps out-targeting him, but Mike Williams keeps producing. Man, Herbert and those two wide receivers are going to be scary for years to come. If this is the Mike Williams we've been waiting for, and I don't know why it took this long, but maybe it just took some rapport, a second year with Mike Williams and Herbert together, but he is now 4th in catches in the NFL, 4th in yards, 2nd in receiving touchdowns. The only other receiver probably is Cooper Kupp in football right now. So my last question for you, Alex, based on this game, is the West actually up for grabs, or is KC a lock for the division? Because I know you earlier said there's a lot of football left, but do you think we can just say that KC is going to win the division, or is this an example of that it's up for grabs?
Oh yeah, it's up for grabs. It's become a dogfight. It'd be different. It's one extra team that's going to be the problem for Kansas City. We got three now. Kansas City hasn't even played the two undefeated teams in the division right now, and they just lost to the other third team, the Chargers. So yeah, Kansas City's got his work cut out for it. It's got some problems on the defensive side and the offensive side. I know they can fix the offensive side. I'm not too sure about the defensive side. So. They got some work to do.
Yep. All right. Let's move on to the next game, Bucks at Rams. This was a NFC Championship preview, Alex. What did you think about the Rams win?
Well, there's some things that definitely stood out for me, more about the Tampa Bay side than it actually was the Rams side. One of the things is Tampa Bay ran 13 times for 35 yards. And let everybody know, Tom Brady himself had 14 of those yards, and Godwin had 2 of them on a reverse. So I think it's starting to become maybe that Tampa Bay's got an issue running the football. It kind of goes back to the draft. We talked about the draft, about how their second pick was Kyle Trask. Maybe they should have got another interior offensive lineman. Maybe they should have probably drafted one of the young running backs. We talked before about the North Carolina backs, Javonte Williams and Michael Carter. Maybe they might need to draft another young running back. But right now, it seems like they're absolutely struggling running the football right now. They're one of the worst run defenses. They're second to worst. Pittsburgh is the worst run offense right now, and then it's Tampa Bay. So that's something I think they need to go and look for. Obviously, why? Tom Brady threw the ball 55-plus times. Tom Brady's a good quarterback, but if you have a quarterback throw that many times, one-dimensional, you're going to definitely have problems, because Tom Brady was sacked 3 times this weekend. So that's something I think that you're probably going to need to look for going forward. I don't know. What do you think about that, Brian?
Well, the thing I want to talk about is I just want to piggyback on what you said about the Bucs running game. A couple of just interesting stats. Those 2 touchdowns, which Alex talked about, Godwin's sweep and Brady's QB sneak, little rhyme there, were their 2 first rushing touchdowns of the season for the Buccaneers. Their rushing total on the season as a team is now 48 carries as a team through 3 games for 169 yards. Their long on rushing is 10 yards. There are 15 people in the NFL with more rushing yards individually than the Bucs as a team. So there's huge concerns for the Bucs, because they should be able to run the ball with no problem, having Leonard Fournette and Ronald Jones. Your quote-unquote great offensive line from last year. I'm not really sure what's going on, Alex, but I just wanted to point that part out. Going back to the Rams really quick so we can move on. DeSean Jackson, this is what happens when you put press coverage on the Rams. You have Kupp and Woods that can do things, but then you have DeSean Jackson making double moves. 3 catches, 120 yards for a touchdown, 5 targets. And honestly, Matt Stafford underthrew him twice. That's the only negative I will say about Matt Stafford this whole year is, with that big arm, maybe they just have to sync up. Honestly, they probably don't have a lot of reps yet. But he definitely underthrew him twice, where he should have had probably 3 touchdowns that game. Stafford's turning Cooper Kupp into a star. What happened to Woods and Kupp? Kupp had 33 targets on the season for 25 catches, 5 touchdowns. Woods only has 19 targets on the season for 11 catches and 1 touchdown. Last thing about this game, I am concerned about the Rams also, just like you talked about the Bucs, Alex. They only average 3.3 yards per carry. But can you imagine if they had Cam Akers, how deadly that offense would be? Now let's move on to the Niners. Packers at the Niners. Niners favored by 3.5. Packers won. They gave Aaron Rodgers 37 seconds and no timeouts to work down the field and take the game away with a clutch Mason Crosby field goal. I think it's quite obvious that everyone has forgotten about the media overreactions about Aaron Rodgers week one. But what did you think about that game, Alex? Was that the best game of the week? Or, I mean, there was a lot of good games. What did you think about the game as a whole?
Yeah, I definitely thought it was probably gave the run for the money for the best game in the week. And I figured it was. It's something about certain teams that when they play each other, you know it's usually a good game. I know the last couple of games were blowouts, but Green Bay, San Francisco, historically, even when one is kind of down, they're historically a really good rivalry. It's usually a really great game. Some of the things I had saw on there, it seems like they're kind of Aaron Jones is kind of seems like he's kind of like the person that stirs this offense when this offense kind of goes a little dead, doesn't it? It seems like they when they start getting Aaron Jones the football, whether rushing or passing, it seems like their offense starts to move a little bit. But it goes back to what you were talking about before about the 37 seconds on that. I know you being a 49er fan, what did you think when they scored near the end?
Oh, when Juszczyk scored, I was concerned, and the main reason I was concerned is because we were down to three corners in that game. Once again, the Niners had lost more corners, lost more secondary. So just kind of quickly, we didn't target Adams. We did soft zone coverage. Adams had 18 targets on the game, 12 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. Because of those secondary issues going to next week, I would say buy Metcalf and Tyler Lockett going to DFS lineups. Really quickly, so we can move on to the next bit so we're not running out of time, Alex. I just want to say for everyone, Trey Sermon is not the running back you want from the Niners offense. He's not explosive. It did not work. It was quite obvious. The one positive I want to throw out for the Kittle and Ayuk owners out there, Kittle is just fine. 9 targets, 7 catches, 92 yards. He does, however, have a minor calf injury, so look to that to see what happens with him. And then Ayuk starting to get the targets in. 6 targets, 4 catches, 37 yards, and a touchdown. So let's move on now and talk about some first quarter awards and let's do a little bit of a kind of our MVP version right now. So the first award that we're going to give out for the quarters is going to be Rookie of the Year. We have a long list because we did a really good, depth coverage on all the rookies, Alex. So kind of following from the ones we liked, one of the ones we questioned. And I think we were actually pretty spot on with the rookies that stood out for us. So Alex, the first two I want to give you are the rookies that don't deserve it, but I just want to kind of mention for the reasons that we brought up. So Najee Harris is ranked 50th of all of 55 running backs with a 3.1 yards per carry. We mentioned the offensive line is a huge issue, and that kind of shows exactly what it is. Just because he had like an 18-target game does not mean he's a good running back. That was a factor. Big Ben can't throw the ball past 5 yards. Half the receiving corps was hurt. He's not going to have another game like that. The other thing, Alex, is Alex Leatherwood, I don't know if you're tracking, he's ranked dead last in all tackles in football. So the one we really questioned that move in that draft, he's 73rd of 73 tackles in football. So those two out of the question. Now, your boy, JOK, he was graded as the top linebacker of all linebackers for 3 weeks. Not rookies, all linebackers on the Browns, Alex. So for me, it's kind of hard to look past that grade, but I'll mention a couple others to kind of make the final decision on who you think should be Rookie of the Year way too early, but who is the lock for the first quarter. Now, the other ones are Rashawn Slater, who we absolutely love. He's ranked as 17th best tackle in football right now. Asante Samuel Jr., ranked as the 20th best corner in football. Four pass defenses. Already. Patrick Surtain, ranked as 16th best corner, a little bit ahead of him. Less stats, though. And the last two, Ja'Marr Chase, he's coming on strong. He's second most touchdowns of all receivers with 11 catches, averaging 20 yards per catch, ranked 19th of 104 wide receivers. And the very last one is Alex's Dallas Cowboys own Micah Parsons, ranked as the fourth best player at his position through two games. I didn't get to see the rank breaking and everything for the Monday night games, but I thought that was pretty damn good, Alex. So who would you give as Rookie of the Year for the early, two early awards?
So I'd probably say Offensive Rookie of the Year. I'd probably give it to Slater. I think he's been the most consistent. I kind of earmarked, kind of thought he might be, him and Sewell probably the best offensive players coming out. You know, Ja'Marr Chase has kind of showed up here and there, but I think Slater's probably the most solid and probably going to be the most consistent offensive player. But the thing about it is, that's why I like the rankings. It kind of gives really good play to the offensive lineman. You can't really see a lot of stats for the offensive lineman, so I would pick Slater. On the defensive side, I got like a tie between Parsons and Samuel. I think they've kind of been neck and neck consistently all year.
Oh, but JOK, best graded linebacker in all of football. So yeah, that's I think it's tough. It's too early. For me, it's Asante Samuel. I think it's taking the Chargers defense to a next level, even though Parsons has been a stud as well. I think it's really hard to pick between those two. So we'll see as the season goes on and kind of and track that again when we get to the halfway point. Now let's move on to coach of the year, Alex. For me, there's two clear-cut coaches to consider, and that's it. You know, I'll let you know if there's anyone else outside the two I give you. John Gruden at 3-0. The Raiders, like I said, I was dead wrong in them. They beat the Ravens. They beat the Steelers. They beat the Dolphins. It doesn't matter the state of teams they played. They didn't play cupcake teams. Those are good teams. They all made the playoffs last year. So I don't care what the excuse is. John Gruden's Raiders are 3-0. The other one, Sean McVay. The Rams are 3-0. They're the clear front runner right now in the NFC. They beat the Bears, the Colts, and the Bucks. Alex, is there any other coach of the year you would consider besides those two?
Oh yeah, I put the Denver's head coach in there. I also will put Matt Rhule in there from the Panthers. I think we kind of you talked earlier this offseason about Denver's going to have themselves a run this year, and I said it all starts with who they pick at the quarterback. It seems they picked the right quarterback, so I definitely give nods to him. And then also, you know, the Panthers. We also talked about we thought the Panthers are going to be pretty good this year. But I think they, Matt Rhule's got to be in that conversation too.
So for me right now is John Gruden. I don't know about what do you think?
I find it very hard to not give it a Gruden because the expectations were so low with Oakland, not Oakland, but the Vegas, and it just we didn't think they were going to be doing very well this year, and
Not
somehow,
at
some
all.
way. Yeah, somehow, some way they hit the mark. So I think he's the front runner.
Yeah, I mean, for the Panthers, if the Panthers and Broncos take care of business this week against better opponents, I will consider them being, you know, number two. I think, but you know, for me, it's Gruden one, McVay number two, just because McVay has the weapons there. I expect him to succeed. I mean, hell, he did with Jared Goff. So, yeah, for me, it's Gruden. Let's move on to offensive player of the year. So here, I picked non-quarterbacks, Alex. To me, there's only two people for me to consider right now. Derrick Henry, 353 rushing yards, three touchdowns. Once he got going, and he has not turned it. He is the most rushing yards by 70 rushing yards over the next person. The other person is, to me, is Cooper Kupp. He leads the league in receptions, yards, and touchdowns. I don't think there's anyone else I would consider other than those two. I think those two are a little ahead of everyone else for offensive player year for not a quarterback. What about you?
I would throw Adams in there just because, and I hate to say it because he just did to your 49ers. He seems like he's the only really wide receiver threat on that team. And it's just like he just gets open so many times. So, but I wouldn't put him ahead of your two. I think to me, it's Henry. Henry's carrying that his football team right now because they don't have a defense. Their pass game is suspect, and their offensive line hasn't been as good as it used to be. So I think he's single-handedly carrying that team right now.
I think Adams leads the league in targets right now, one more than Kupp. He's tied with Kupp for receptions, but he doesn't have the touchdowns. He doesn't have the yards. So yeah, he's definitely up there. All right, let's move on to defensive player of the year. This one was a little more difficult for me to pick, Alex. I have Myles Garrett simply from his one game, the performance alone. He's got 5.5 sacks, leading the league in sacks. A couple other options, Max Crosby. He only has 2 sacks, but that whole Raiders defense has turned around, and I have to give someone credit. And Max Crosby is in on every play, high motor, you know, always pressuring the quarterback. To me, he's at least he's not going to win it, but he should be considered just for what he's doing for the team. Ramsey is the third best rated corner. That's not a surprise. The thing that surprised me about Jalen Ramsey, just because they're lining him up everywhere, including the slot, which people question at the start of the year, he's got 20 tackles through 3 games, which is insane for a corner. like Jalen Ramsey. So he may not, he only has two pass defenses, one interception, but he's the third best rated corner, and he's doing it by, you know, stopping the run, making tackles. Aaron Donald, second best defensive tackle, 13 tackles, two sacks. We expect him to be there. Need not say more. The last one I have up here, Alex, he's not up here, but I just want to kind of point out how important he is. TJ Watt, when he played against the Bills, he single-handedly caused so much havoc against Josh Allen that, to me, he won the game for the Steelers. And it's shown how bad that defense is without him in there. So I just want to throw some love towards TJ Watt. He's not going to be defensive player of the year for me on this vote right now. But Alex, of those ones I gave you, do you pick one of them, or is there someone else that you want to pick?
I would throw Von Miller in there, but I think he's going to probably be the comeback player of the year. But I don't think I could put him ahead of the names you kind of threw out there. It's kind of going to be hard for corners to kind of win defensive player of the year. Usually it's been going to either linebackers or some type of pass rusher in recent history. You got to be like a great cornerback, gets a bunch of picks or something like that. If you go based off of this past week, Garrett looks like he's going to win it. But I think Donald's going to be – has been more consistent, in my opinion. But Garrett had a monster week. I mean, if you just look at the stats, you'd say Garrett's going to win it.
All right, let's go to this last one. Who is our current MVP? The three options I'm giving you, I'm only giving you quarterbacks too. Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, and a dark horse, Derek Carr.
I would go Derek Carr one, Murray second, and then I would go Stafford third.
Yeah, I love what Matt Stafford's doing. I love what Kyler Murray's doing. But Derek Carr is throwing to Bryan Edwards, Henry Ruggs. I mean, he's got a great slot receiver. He's got Darren Waller, but he just doesn't have the same offensive weapons or anything. And we saw, you know, we just don't expect it from him. And he's leading the league in passing by a good margin. So, it's hard for me to not look at Derek Carr if they keep the success up. And that's not taking anything away from Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, because they're doing absolutely phenomenal this year. Now, let's move on to the next portion, talking injuries. Week three, there's only a couple significant injuries that really impact things to look forward towards fantasy. First one, Justin Herbert. He hurt his throwing hand at the game. He was icing his hand. Says he should be okay, but we'll kind of see where that goes. Juju Smith-Schuster hurt his ribs. So on top of Deontay Johnson being hurt, Smith-Schuster's hurt. You know, Claypool came out of the game for a little bit. That wide receiver core is banged up right now, and which is kind of, you know, and Big Ben is already having his own issues. James White with a pretty big hip injury, kind of like what Ryan Fitzpatrick had, I think. So he's potentially going to be out indefinitely on the IR. We don't really know exactly when he's coming back. And I just talked him up last week. I'm picking him up. So unfortunately, that didn't work out. The biggest one, though, is A.J. Brown and the hamstring. Once again, a hamstring, that's between a two-week to like a 7 to 8 week injury. A.J. Brown, we talked about this, Alex, at the start of the year, right? That between A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown and Julio Jones, it's a huge risk between taking those two players because of the injury history. And now, Alex, there's two ways to look at Julio Jones. Is he going to get a lion's share of targets, or is he going to be locked down so much because there's no one else to target in that offense that he isn't really a good viable option? So which way would you go on Julio Jones in that manner?
I think just for the heck of it, I mean, you just got to go Julio right now. You got to kind of hope that maybe Derrick Henry is going to, you know, obviously get the box loaded so much that, you know, Julio's going to have more one-on-ones. That's going to have to be your feel right now if you're trying to, especially if you've already drafted Julio.
Yep. All right, let's move on to looking ahead to week four in fantasy football from week three to week four. So some things just kind of think about and consider. So just as a kind of recap, last week's top five scoring quarterbacks, Josh Allen by a landslide. He jumped from 19 to 6 in 1 week. Like I said, he was the high-scoring quarterback last week with his 5-touchdown performance against Washington. And for those of you who weren't tracking, we had a lot of Washington fans that were openly saying that their secondary is going to have problems. Number two is Justin Herbert. Number three is Matt Stafford with his great game. Number four is Tom Brady, just for the sheer amount of passing they did without running the ball. Number five is your boy, Alex, Sam Darnold, 300 passing yards. No touchdowns, but he had two rushing touchdowns. So other things to look at and consider, Jacoby Brissett filled in actually really well for Tua, threw a lot of short passes to the point where Jalen Waddle and Gesicki had a ton of targets. And maybe if you're looking for a DFS play, look at those two targets that he has, because the next 2 weeks he'll be starting again. So maybe we'll get a lot more targets going towards those two people. Buy them low when you can. In addition to that, Brissett actually outscored Dak, Lamar, Aaron Rodgers, Kyler Murray, and Russell Wilson this last week. So he didn't do that bad. Tom Brady moves up as the number one quarterback in fantasy just because of how bad the Bucs running game is. So keep looking at that. You know, and this is one of those games, Alex, Tom Brady's going to go off against New England, right? Like, there's no holding going to put up 49 points or something crazy. But would you say that?
You know what? I wouldn't. Just to think about it, because Belichick is still a defensive guru, so it's going to be kind of like chess match. I think Brady's going to get his numbers, but it's also going to be a question of kind of with that defense. Is it that New England kind of defense is going to come up and rise up and maybe be something? Or is it going to be Tom Brady knows this defense, he's going to pick apart and just absolutely destroy them? So that's one I would look forward to.
All right, let's move on to running back. Alex, Zeke came back with a vengeance this week. I think he was the third high-scoring running back this last week. But where are the big names at? You know, a lot of them are hurt. So four of the top 11 running backs are hurt. You know, Dalvin Cook, CMC. We have a lot of injuries going on. So you're going to have to start looking in kind of some weird places for your running back. So this last week alone, you know, the number one running back was Najee Harris just because of how many catches he had, not because he ran the ball. Number two, Kareem Hunt, doing what he does, you know, only getting like 10 carries a game. Number three, Zeke. Number four, Alex, your boy, James Robinson, finally made it back to the top five. Number five, DeAndre Swift. We expect him to be a top five running back all year just because of the sheer passing that they're going to have to do every game. Outside of maybe this game coming up, which is going to be the most tragic game of the week, the Lions and the Bears. So maybe that game they don't have to play from behind. Next, number six, Alex, I don't think anyone saw this coming. Peyton Barber is number six running back because of how they use them. They use him like Jacobs, and then they make Kenyon Drake the secondary running back to Peyton Barber. So I guess they're paying Drake to just be a secondary running back no matter who the lead running back is. It's kind of weird. Number six is Madison taking over for Dalvin Cook. Oh, I'm sorry, number seven. Number 10, Giovanni Bernard. Just Tom Brady uses his receiving back. So those names I gave you there, none of them are really the big names outside of Zeke. So you can kind of see that running back is really difficult to predict right now in fantasy football. So the real target is your quarterbacks and your wide receivers. Those are your more consistent ones. Now, what running backs can you kind of look at for helping your team out for a flex play? The bye weeks are coming up soon. Well, Cordell Patterson had another six catch game. He's now the number 12 running back. And the other thing is Zach Moss has somehow overtaken Devin Singletary in the Buffalo. He is now the number 10 running back in fantasy football. He's only rostered in 57% of the leagues. He didn't play week one. Week two, he only had 28% snap share. But then week three, he passed Singletary on snaps, being in for 56% of the snaps compared to Singletary. So something to look at. Moss is someone of those guys that you want to pick up. A couple guys that you may want to consider getting rid of. David Montgomery. You know, until they figure out that quarterback situation, the running back situations are hurt. In addition to that, Miles Sanders, it's time to completely get rid of him. I have no clue what the Eagles are doing with Miles Sanders. He is a good talent. Use him. Alex, you even saw the game against the Cowboys. He had two carries for 27 yards, and they just abandoned using him completely. And he's a good receiving back, too. Are you confused by the usage of Miles Sanders?
I think after listening to Sirianni's conference call, I think he kind of trying to learn coaching in football. No, that sounds stupid, but it sounds like he's learning on the fly. So his excuse of why he only ran two times was absolutely stupid. So I would be worried going forward about it.
And Nick Sirianni, we talked him up after beating the Falcons, and now in retrospect, we probably should have not done that so quickly. Yeah. We want wide receivers. Alex, you heard me say this, Deebo Samuel. I keep telling everyone to get rid of Deebo Samuel, to trade him away. At some point, you need to listen to me if you have Deebo Samuel. He's now dropped from 1 to 3, and this week he went from 3 to 10. He's going to keep dropping him. The Niners, I just talked about Kittle and Ayuk are now being introduced into the offense. We're getting running backs back soon. You need to get rid of Deebo Samuel while you can. If you want to hold on to him, that's fine, but I'm just trying to help you maximize your value. You need to get rid of him. Mike Williams, on the other hand, is now the number 2 wide receiver in fantasy. If you didn't get him, shame on you. I got him as many leagues as I could. I think I only got him in two or four or five of my leagues. And this week, the big pickup in the, or DFS play, take every Seattle wide receiver against the Niners. The Niners are so banged up in the secondary. DK Metcalf has always murdered the Niners secondary. Tyler Lockett can do it as well, but you know, they have that thing in Seattle where they go back and forth. I just have a feeling that's going to be DK Metcalf's game. Other things to talk about for wide receivers. Brandon Cooks is not going away. Even with quarterback change, he has the third most receptions in fantasy football. Get him if you can while people don't realize that yet. If you can, you know, pull off that trading with someone else. Alex, who should be more concerned with? Tyreek Hill's 11 targets over two games or Calvin Ridley, who has not got more than 63 receiving yards in a game yet this year?
Well, since I got Calvin Ridley, I am worried about Calvin Ridley. So I'm going to say Calvin Ridley because he's screwing up a couple of my fantasy leagues. So there you go.
Yeah, and he's entire kill screwing up my fantasy league that I have him in, that I rely on him. So it's, I guess it depends on who you ask. I'm going to throw this one more wide receiver out as my, you know, kind of buy low when you can. Henry Ruggs has looked really good. He's getting seven targets a game last couple of weeks. Get him now while you can. I've seen him in a couple of leagues, people slowly picking him up. To me, it just feels like he's going to eventually break out and turn into what we thought he should have been last year. And I really think it was a issue with the training camp and COVID and injuries that he didn't click with Derek Carr like he's clicking now. Derek Carr's throwing the ball to only where he can get it. Henry Ruggs is showing the great ability to jump up and catch the ball. It just looks great right now. Last one, moving on to tight ends. Tight ends are difficult to predict. The top three in week three, Alex, is your boy Schultz with 26 points with his two touchdown game. Conklin, who's being used as, you know, I just talked up KJ for some reason, then Conklin came in as the number two tight end and was using four receiving sets at times. He had 20 points. And number three was Gesicki with the amount of targets he got from Brissett. So it looks, I just think Gesicki's the tight end that you want for the next couple weeks. Now, let's wrap this up and move on to the game matchups, Alex. So we're going to predict four games again. This time, instead of just talking about the predictions we want to do, we're going to kind of predict who we think is going to win. So game matchup number one that we're looking forward to watching, Alex, the Arizona Cardinals at the LA Rams to see who's going to be really fighting for that first place position between the two of them. The Rams are 6-point favorites. Who do you think is going to win a game between Arizona and LA? And let's go with the spread and make it interesting.
I think the Rams will win by more than that. So I'm going to take the Rams. I'll take the points.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing just because I think of what we talked about before, coaching by Kingsbury. I feel like they're going to do something to not make it as close as it should be. Tampa Bay at New England, Tampa Bay by 5.5.
Yeah, I think the Bucs are going to cover. Yes, absolutely, they're going to cover.
I think 5.5 is not nearly enough. It should be at least 7, even if they're on the road. Here's the big AFC West matchup. Las Vegas at the Chargers. Chargers by 3.
I'll take it by I'll go the other way. I'll take the Raiders. I'll tell you, even though I said the Chargers are going to probably win this game, was picking games before, I'm going to do a 180 on this, and I'm going to take the Raiders going the other way. I would go the +3 on that.
So I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm taking the Chargers as long as they have Bosa, Samuel, and Derwin James, and they keep using Mike Williams. I don't think the Chargers can be stopped. I think the one loss, that it was self-inflicted. I don't think they really got beat. So I think the Chargers may be the best team if they can stay healthy in the West, but I guess we'll see. The last one is Alex is going to challenge my Denver pick, which is really ballsy because I don't know what to expect because Denver is 3-0. However, the teams that they've beat are a combined 0-9, and Baltimore has done everything on all aspects to try to win and lose games. And it's, I think this will be a very interesting game to watch. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Denver's favored by 1. It's at Denver. So, Alex, Baltimore at Denver, who do you got in that one?
I've agreed with you. This is going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to come down to whose quarterback makes the play. I think Lamar will make the play at the end, so I'll take the Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm going to be stupid and take Denver just to, as a pride pick, to see if they can really do what they're supposed to do, because I think they have a good defense. You know, and they got good corners there. So I think it'll be a stack the box and trust their defense on, you know, I guess the wide receivers from Baltimore. I can't wait to watch it for being a low scoring game. So, all right, that wraps up everything we got, Alex. Is there any last comments you got to wrap up week 3 going to week 4?
Well, we're getting in that first quarter of the season. So usually they divide the season in quarters. So after the first quarter is really be able to kind of look back, kind of see some things. I think statistically, I think in the last 20 years, it says teams that start 3-0 or have a 75% chance of making the playoffs. So you can kind of look at that based off who's undefeated right now.
Yep. All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. That wraps up our episode. We'll have another episode come out next week. So once again, please share the content, subscribe, leave reviews. It helps us out greatly. So we appreciate all the support you guys have been giving us. But any more getting other people to listen, once again, we greatly appreciate it. So have a good one. We'll catch you guys next week.